Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score. We're sorry we can't change that, but we know a lot of women love sports, and more specifically, Heidi Holton. She joins us.
WNBA starting
in a bubble, and Fred Friedman's here, and Kyle Erickson is here. Would one of you explain to me what the Disney World bubble is? Is it a dome?
Go ahead, Kyle. Well, the theory is that all the folks within the auspices of the NBA are going to be contained on location. They're not to go outside of the designated boundaries of where they're going to play the games and where they're living, etc. Of course, in an effort to avoid any of the players or NBA employees contracting coronavirus. The downside of the bubble, though, is that the folks who are cleaning rooms and catering food and that sort of thing do not live in the bubble. So it's, can you have a bubble that's got holes in it? It'd be like the wiffle bubble.
Yeah, the wiffle bubble. Jeez. Very good analogy. Yeah, well, I don't even know where we're at. Is basketball going to officially start?
They say so. Yeah. Jamal Crawford, when they get going, when they get up and running again, former one-time Timberwolf Jamal Crawford is set to become the oldest active player in the NBA. That came across the wire this morning. He had a little one-year stint with the Timberwolves, so I'm hopeful that they get up and running because I always enjoyed watching him play, and it's kind of fun seeing a guy almost my age still competing in the NBA.
And then, of course, hockey's going to start. And, Fred, tell us about baseball. Does it start Saturday or Sunday of next week?
Week from Friday, that's going to start with no fans. That's starting across the country, as opposed to basketball that's all in Orange County, Florida, Orlando, one of the highest COVID places in the continent. And hockey's going to go right to the Stanley Cup with two bubbles, one in Edmonton and one in Toronto. Baseball, we'll see. I watched, it was on TV last night, I watched an intra-team play game of the Twins versus the Twins last night.
Oh.
This was shocking. Mm-hmm. Cruz knocked in a couple of runs and hit a home run. So did Kepler. So we'll see. I'm skeptical. I think this stuff will start. I'm skeptical whether it'll end. Sure hope so. Sure hope they could keep everybody safe. But we'll see.
I saw an article the other day about how it's going to be quiet in these places, and they might pipe in music and cheering and things like that. But they're a little bit concerned about baseball players maybe using a cuss word or here and there, and so that's going to be interesting.
Sure they will. Of course they will. But I want to say this: of everything going on in America right now, players swearing and a TV mic picking it up ought to be our very last concern.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you know, everything's been so disrupted this year, and it's important to find signs of normalcy, right? Hints that we can maybe start getting back to something approaching life as usual. And we found one. I don't know if you guys saw this. We found one this week when Byron Buxton sprained his foot jogging after a fly ball. And so there's
shocking,
you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and Byron Buxton finds weird ways to injure himself. they're optimistic. He won't miss much time, but he's already on the injured list, and the season hasn't started yet.
Yeah, and it's a 60-game season.
Yeah, but that aside, there's a lot to be excited about this year's Twins squad. They, you know, crushed the all-time single-season Major League Baseball home run record last year and celebrated that by signing Josh Donaldson, who hit, I think, 37 home runs last year and is a Gold Glove third baseman. So however many games we get in, I'll be excited to watch this year's Twins edition go at it.
Me too.
So let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota State High School League and schools in general. They're not sure what they're going to do. They're talking about, I know at community college, they're going to hopefully start their basketball and seasons like that in January, but who knows if that's going to happen. But in high school now, when they say they want to make the change and put football in the spring, just think of what that does to the baseball roster, right? I mean, kids are going to have to make choices of what sport they want to do. That's kind of correct, isn't it?
It is correct. It also means it would affect baseball, it would affect track, it would affect all kinds of things. I don't think they know what they're going to do, and I don't think they're all on the same page either. And we don't know. And it's not only the players, which is a great thing to worry about. It's the players bringing the COVID home, and it's coaches and trainers and everything. We don't know what's going to happen, and of course, you know, there's an argument to be made to shut down everything for the year, for an academic year, and see what happens. I'm not saying I support that, but there sure is an argument for it. And complicating all this is high school players. There's no money in that. The schools aren't making money; they're losing in that. Well, we got maybe five dozen Division I colleges making a fortune off A, football tickets, and B, the television revenues. So it's really complicated, guys. And it's the middle of July, let alone nobody knows about whether it's going to be school or not, which creates a massive, an incomprehensive daycare problem.
Oh, Heidi and I were just talking about that. What is going to happen?
The whole thing's brutal.
So, Fred, I usually keep my eye on everything, but one of the options is not to have school, period?
Well, there's going to be school. The options are, A, is it going to be online, which means if you have access to money, you have access to technology, you have access to machines, and you have access to people to help you run the machines, and you have Wi-Fi, then you'll get some kind of education, though it won't be very anywhere as good. Rural people will hurt them a lot. Poor people will hurt them a lot. And it's not as good. Or we can have in classes and see what happens. Or you can have a mix, some kind of hybrid, where you go to school someday and not some days. The younger you are, the less likely you are to get sick. But it's all bad. And it's, once again, it's the people of means versus people with no means. It's a very bad deal, and we have no history on how to handle this. So, not good.
So, Kyle and Fred, speaking of history, big changes with the Washington football team and the Cleveland baseball team, and then the Atlanta Braves are saying there is no way we are changing our names.
Well, here's what I think. People have been talking about Washington ought to change its football team name forever, and there are many, many national medias that aren't even using the R word, by the way. I mean, it's just been sent down by the Heidis of the world, don't even use it. So they should have done it a long time ago. The reason they did it is all about money, because Amazon and FedEx and Whole Foods and Nike all said, no more, you've lost us, we're not going to sponsor it for money. So they didn't do it because it's morally right. They did it because they were financially pressured into it. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland changes the name of the team. We'll see. Atlanta, who knows? They have tight relationships with tribes in Appalachia, so we'll see what will happen. I don't know. Kansas City, probably not. You know, we'll see. So, but as far as I'm concerned, is that Cleveland should have done this a long time ago in Washington. I mean, let's be face about it. The guy who owned the team was an outstanding, was just an outspoken bigot. And this should have happened a half a century ago. We all know it.
Kyle, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll be tougher for the holdouts. You know, Atlanta has been the most outspoken about saying that they're not going to change, but Washington has already committed to it. Cleveland, I think, probably will because they're Cleveland mascot's name? Chief Wahoo, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
You know, egregiously not okay than you know, the Braves logo. The holdouts will have more and more pressure because the spotlight will be focused more and more on them, and I think we'll come to a point where sponsors will pull money from them, too, and like Fred said, the dollar is what they respond to more than anything. They don't care about morality. They don't care about shaping a better world. They care about dollars and cents. And I think over time, it's likely that the pressure will become more than they care to deal with. And eventually, we'll be rid of all of them. But you know, goodness knows how long that'll take.
I think, Kyle, the team that has the best argument not to change is probably the Chicago Blackhawks hockey team, because I could see them changing their the mascot, but not the name, because that was named after a person, not an ethnic group.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I know I'm enjoying watching golf on TV late at night. I don't know about you guys, but it's fun. I don't either.
John, I got a bad golf story to tell you about. Two Wednesdays in a row, I have driven a long way to play golf on range courses and been rained out. Yesterday, I pounded it 94 miles of my house to the wilderness. Thunder, lightning, rain, turned around. Two Wednesdays in a row, long road trips, rainouts.
Oh, that's a shame. The wilderness, for those golfers in our listening area here who haven't played at the wilderness up by Tower, is one of the best public golf courses in Minnesota, and it might be the most beautiful. It's absolutely worth a trip up there.
Yeah, it certainly is. And my dad always raised me saying it never rains on a golf course, so I don't know what happened to you, Fred.
Yeah, lightning, you know. But I agree. The two prettiest golf courses I play in Minnesota are the Wilderness and Lake Superior National up by Grand Marais with fantastic, beautiful views.
Yeah, but then golf courses are showing kind of record income this year because it's kind of a sport that you can pretty much sit socially distance yourself if you're good, and they got the cups that you can pull out of the ground with your toe, and it seems to be working.
And they played a smart move by letting people golf, not split a cart, going individual carts, which definitely helps public health.
Yeah, you can't. You can't rake at the trap, or you can't be, there's no rakes and traps, and you can't drink water, but who cares? So anything else? Closing thoughts?
Well, so one other item for me in the world of fishing is 4 years ago, Major League Fishing made a stop in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where some of the best bass anglers in the world fish some local lakes for a tournament. And the new evolution of that, which is called the Bass Pro Tour, was just down in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. And we know that their next stop, which is for a championship event, is going to be in Minnesota, but they haven't announced where yet. So I'm kind of curious to see if they might be coming back to Itasca County or if it's going to be down somewhere in the Twin Cities due to Lake Minnetonka or some of that. But folks can keep their eyes peeled and see if there's any shiny boats buzzing around town. It might be the big boys coming to fish again.
And shiny trucks that you can't identify what kind it is because there's so many decals on it.
Those are the ones.
Fred, anything else?
I was going to ask you about Grand Rapids. I was in Rapids on Thursday night, and I see they have Legion. And around here in the Duluth area, Legion Baseball, they definitely don't in the Duluth Superior Cloquet area. I was going to ask you how that's been. Why is it that there's Legion Baseball some places and not others?
Well, I don't know. Good question. We'll have to check into it. We'll see you guys next week.
Wait, we got trivia.
Oh, gosh.
Trivia.
Oh, forget about the trivia.
I was wondering what was happening.
I never forget. I wake up ready.
And I want to remind you, it is our quieter summer membership drive. We know it's a tough time for folks, but if you can afford to support what you're listening to right now, we're asking for you to make that phone call to 800-662-5799. $100 match when you call in your pledge at whatever level. If you pledge at $15 a month, you get that new Sasquatch shirt that says social distancing since 1976. Okay, so the senior correspondent has sent 7 bloody cheeky trivia questions for the mates. You guys ready?
Ready.
What American has won the most British Open golf titles?
Tom Watson?
Yes.
Oh, good job.
5 of them. What is the name of the trophy presented to the winner of the British Open?
Claret jug.
Yep.
Yep.
In what sport first played in England in the 1860s is 180 deemed the highest possible score?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
England?
What did England develop?
Is it darts?
I know nothing about cricket.
Fred, you got it. Darts. We didn't even need the hint there. Okay, so tennis players from Great Britain and the U.S. have won the most men's single titles at Wimbledon. What country is number 3 in men's singles champions?
Probably Australia, huh?
Yes, exactly. Australia. Okay. Name 2 Aussies who have won men's titles at Wimbledon.
Well, Rod Laver, for sure.
Yep.
I don't know. Roy Emerson, maybe?
Exactly, yep.
Oh, and
John, good for
also on the list, John Newcomb, Lou Hode, Neil Frazier, Pat Cash, Leighton Hewitt, Frank Sedgman. And, okay, so our next question, name the 2 Australians who won women's singles titles at Wimbledon. They won 4 titles in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s.
Yvonne Goolagong.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
And one more.
Oh, boy.
Fred, Kyle, we don't even need to participate.
Hey, I got one idea.
Yvonne,
I don't know.
Yvonne Goolagong, are you kidding me? I remember that, but how can you pull that out?
I got a sick brain.
You do?
Okay, do you want the initials of the second one?
Yeah. Sure.
MC.
Oh, Margaret Connolly.
Yeah, Margaret Court. You got it, Kyle.
Yeah.
Good job, Kyle.
Good job.
And our final question. Gertrude Ederle was an American swimmer who was an Olympic champion and set world records in 5 swimming events during the 1920s. However, she is best remembered for what achievement?
First woman to swim the English Channel.
Swim in the Channel.
That's right, in 1926.
Wow, impressive.
Good job, you guys.
Now we can say goodbye. See you guys next week.
All right. See you, folks.
Be healthy, everybody.